speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
What a blessing it is to be counted as a child of God. The Scripture identifies to us that our God loves us so much. He created us after His image. He placed within us a soul that dwells within us, resides within us while we're here. And our God identifies continually why we are here, exactly how much He loves us. Not only do we read concerning this in Scripture, but as Christians we know that we experience our God's love every single day. Whenever good things happen to us in life, we attribute the good to the blessings that God bestows upon us. But you know, the ultimate in which we know concerning our God's love for us is the fact that He was willing to give His only begotten Son at Calvary's cross for our sin. John chapter 3 and verse 16. Not only do we understand the Father's love, but good people, we also understand our Lord's love, the love that Jesus Himself personally had. Why? Because He willingly laid His life down for us Himself, knowing that it was a part of heaven's eternal plan in order for us to be redeemed of our sin. Our God deserves and also expects our love. And our love for God is developed through a study of Scripture. Whenever we read and study concerning the magnificent love that our God has for us, good people, it develops within us a love for God. In fact, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, the Scripture tells us that we love Him because He first loved us. And our love for God is not only developed through Scripture, but then as we come to a love for God, an agape love for God, as He loves us, then we will express our love unto God in obedience by submitting ourselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. But not only in an initial obedience to become a child of God, but in like figure to live our lives faithful before God in obedience until we draw our last breath here. And our love for God then is seen that we will want to maintain this level of love and in fact to grow our love for God to where we live our life faithful before God so that whenever we pass from this life into eternity, and ultimately then whenever we stand before God in judgment, that heaven will be our goal and our reward. As Christians, we must pursue a greater love for God as well as a better understanding of who He is and who He calls us to be, and then we must give our lives over to a sacrificial service rendered unto God. Our success in being able to accomplish this goal is to follow closely to our Lord and Savior. Tonight, I want us to consider how close do we follow to Christ. And also, not only in regard to how we follow Christ, but I want us to see some serious dangers that if we follow at a distance, how that it might destroy our relationship with our God and our Creator. The lesson I want to teach tonight, I want to draw from the life and teachings of Peter and to see the way in which this man followed Jesus Christ at afar and how this affected him in his relationship with our God. Good people, whenever we think in regard to Peter, the Scripture identifies unto us is that he was called by our Lord to be an apostle. There were 12 men that the Lord selected Himself to serve as apostles. These men were loved by the Lord and our Lord loved them. And the Scripture reveals unto us that Peter was one of these men and our Lord spent the time that He had with these men teaching them concerning the will of God, identifying unto them that indeed He was the Messiah and that He was ultimately going to die for the sins of man. He also taught them to train them so that whenever He would depart from this world, whenever He would die at Calvary's cross and be resurrected from the grave and ascend into heaven, that these men would be trained and given the responsibility to go forth with a proclamation of the good news of salvation through the Christ. And good people, whenever He was resurrected, He told these men, He gave these men the great commission, the charge to go forth to proclaim that indeed He was the Son of God. And Peter was one of those, and Peter went whenever he was called. And in regard to Peter and his service to the Lord, good people, we find is that he made multiple sacrifices in his life in order to serve our God well. He sacrificed of his time as well as of his talents. He was a man that had the same amount of time upon the face of this earth as we do, that is, within the course of a day. But yet at the same time, He knew that in order for Him to be pleasing and acceptable unto our God, is that He need not to devote His life over to the things that would make Peter happy, but rather over to the things that God required of him. And He also, I believe, understood, at least in part, is that the talents that He had, the abilities that He possessed during the time in which He was here, that those had been bestowed upon Him from God. And therefore, He gave His talents back over to God. But good people, also we understand when you consider this man Peter, is that he was a very successful businessman, but yet at the same time, he forsook that business. He gave from a financial standpoint. Why did he do this? Because he believed in the cause of Christ. And he understood that he had to sacrifice himself in order for the sacrifice that Christ was going to make at Calvary's cross for the sins of man. But also, as you consider this man Peter, good people, I believe the Scripture very clearly reveals unto us that this man Peter had a wife and possibly would have had children. And in this, well, most certainly would have, because he served as an elder in the church. And in this, then, we can deduce and to say is that his family would have sacrificed because of his sacrifice. He made personal sacrifices because he loved the Lord and because he wanted so much to reach out to the souls of man, to bring others into the hope and unto the salvation that he himself shared and enjoyed as a Christian. The Scripture reveals concerning Peter is that he voiced the greatest confession that one would ever be able to make during the course of their life here. As he is there in Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 and following, the Scripture reveals unto us is that our Lord has questioned who men say that he himself was, and they answered and said, some say that you are Jeremiah, Elijah, or one of the other prophets. And Jesus then says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Good people, based out of his confession that Jesus was and is the Son of God, the Christ, we can come to an understanding, at least in part, he realized that Jesus was much more than a physical man, and so much that he was willing to verbally express concerning the fact as to who Christ was. The Scripture tells us concerning Peter is that the Lord predicted Peter's fall. In fact, in Luke's account, we have recorded here by our Lord, he said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. And he goes on to explain. He says, the rooster will not crow this day before you have denied me three times. Good people, can you imagine how Peter must have felt at that time? He must have been running through his mind, Lord, I love you so much. Lord, I've given up so much for you. Lord, I've even confessed you as the Son of God. In all, good people, he went on to express his devotion unto our God. In all, we see in regard to this, is that as Jesus had revealed unto the apostles that he was getting ready to die, Peter inquired unto him, Lord, tell me where you're going. And our Lord revealed unto him, he says, Peter, it's not possible for you to go where I am. But he says, following this, you will follow me. And certainly he did, we know, later on in his life. But ultimately then, he even followed him to the point of death, dying for the Lord. But in these words here, as Jesus has laid out that he was getting ready to depart and that one was going to deny him, Peter stepped up and he says, Lord, I would even lay down my life for you. Did Peter mean what it was that he stated there? Good people, I believe that he did. Because Peter later demonstrated his love for the Lord. In what way? When Jesus was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver over into the soldiers, the Scripture reveals unto us is that Peter drew his sword and he cut off Malchus's ear, and which was a part of our Scripture reading just a few moments ago. You know that our Lord rebuked him for that and told him to put away the sword. Why did our Lord do that? Because he had to go to the cross in order to die for the sins of mankind. At the arrest of our Lord, the Scripture reveals unto us is that Peter followed Jesus Christ at a distance. Good people, he soon lost his courage. He soon stepped back from his commitment by following our Lord at a distance into the courtyard of the high priest. And what was the result of his following our Lord at a distance? The Scripture reveals unto us is that it wasn't much time after that indeed the prophecy that our Lord had said that Peter would deny Him came true, that Peter denied our Lord three times before the cock crowed that day. Good people, I am so grateful that the story does not end there. The Lord went on after He is resurrected, and He appears back into the apostles, and in the context of what John describes unto us in the book of John chapter 21, He appears unto the apostles there, and Peter is in that mix, and following His resurrection, as He is appearing unto the apostles, they are fishing, and the Lord challenges them to cast out in a way and in a direction and in a manner wherein that He is telling them to go, and as a result of that, good people, they catch the fish. And the Lord then tells them that He will fix them breakfast, and He does that. And it's following that then that our Lord speaks very specifically unto Simon Peter. And during the course of their conversation, the Lord challenged His love. Peter loved Him as a brother. But good people, our Lord wanted Him to love Him much more than just with a brotherly love, a phileo love. Our Lord wanted Him to commit to Him with an agape love, a love that is sacrificial, that says, I will love you unto the end. And good people, certainly we understand that the context of Scripture as is presented in John chapter 21 reveals that Peter was restored, and following his restoration then, this man, Peter, gave his life fully over to the Lord, even to the point to where he died for the cause of Christ. Tonight I want to ask the most important question as we consider the lesson in regard to how close do we follow Christ. How close are you following Christ? Are you where you want to be in your relationship with God? But also, not only are you where you want to be, are you where you need to be, or can you relate with Peter in regard to the way in which you are following our Lord? We have received a tremendous calling by our God. We have been called by the gospel of Christ, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. As we read and study from the Scripture, we understand that God extends salvation unto whosoever will may come. And as a result of our reading and studying the Scripture, good people, we understand that God is calling every soul to come, and based out of our love for Him, then we are obedient unto His call. God calls us not only through the gospel, but God calls us unto the forgiveness of sin. There's nothing that you and I can do within ourselves to merit salvation, but rather we are fully dependent upon the forgiveness that God extends through Jesus Christ, His Son and our Savior. And the gospel message reveals that unto us. And God tells us that whenever we obey Christ in baptism, that in like figure then we are called out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Being called out of darkness is identifying that we are called out of the sinful world to live according to the light, according to the path, according to the righteousness of God found as well as defined time and again through the life and teachings of our Lord and Savior. And God calls us also to be ambassadors, to be representatives of Him as we live our life, as well as we go through life to proclaim Christ to each and every soul that we come in contact with. But also God reveals unto us is that, as was true with Peter, you and I must make sacrifices in regard to our relationship with God. What type of sacrifices does God require of us? Good people, God wants us to give Him our all. He wants us to give of our time, talents, and energy. Why do we have the things that we have? We have all that we have from a good standpoint, as well as whenever it comes to our health and our life here, we have those blessings because God has bestowed it upon us. And we are merely stewards of the things that God places into our care. And as stewards, God wants us to be wise in regard to the way in which we consider these things as well as use them. And God wants us then to invest everything that He bestows upon us back unto Him and unto His service so that He will be glorified and so that the borders of His kingdom might be able to increase. And therefore, as we think in regard to giving of our time, talents, and energy, God says that we also must give of our money, of our goods, and of our services. And the sacrifices that we make, good people, it must be a personal sacrifice, giving of ourselves individually. But also, God expects you and me as Christians to give ourselves in a very sincere manner over to serving Him as we dwell here. Our God also requires us to make the good confession concerning our Lord. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, we read, "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." At what point do we make that confession unto salvation? Good people, I believe that we make that confession unto salvation whenever we are baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. You will recall when Philip had taught the Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts chapter 8 and verse 26 and following. As he taught him, as Philip taught the eunuch concerning the Christ, the Scripture reveals unto us that they came into a certain water, and this man wanted to be baptized, and he says, "What hinders me from being baptized?" And Peter says, "If you believe it with all your heart, you may." And the eunuch then responds by saying, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God." This man made that good confession. He made the great confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And as we put Christ on in baptism, we also must make that same confession that the eunuch did in order for him to become a child of God. But you know, our God wants us not only to make that good confession at one point in our life. God wants you and me as Christians to make that confession continually, every day of our life, by the way in which we live, as well as with the opportunities that we have to verbally express how much we believe in our God. But also God warns us that we are not once saved, always saved. Our God warns us that it is possible for us to fall away from our God, and therefore God tells us time and again through the New Testament Scripture, and also illustrates it in the Old Testament with Israel, how that they had fallen away. God tells us that we need to take heed to the doctrine that the Scripture teaches. We need to take heed to the things that God instructs us from the doctrine in regard to the things that He wants us to focus upon according to the life that He wants us to live. We need to take heed to those things and to examine not only the Scripture as to what God says, but we need to examine our lives. Aren't we so grateful for the Lord's Supper and the opportunity that is afforded us to remember the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord each Lord's Day as we assemble together and partake of these emblems that represent His broken body as well as His shed blood? And the Scripture tells us that during that time that we are to examine ourselves, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 29. But good people, you and I know as Christians is that on Sunday morning as we partake of the Lord's Supper is not the only time that we are to examine ourselves. We are to examine ourselves daily to make certain that we are in the faith, that we are steadfast and unmovable. And as we examine ourselves, then God says, if we see that things are amiss, then we need to repent of those things to make the corrections in our life, but also that we need to guard against falling away. That's why God tells us and warns us time and again, most Christians feel comfortable and feel devoted where they are. Our faith is a true faith in God, as a child of God, as a Christian. Our faith is a committed faith, but yet at the same time, I assert for your understanding tonight, is that also sometimes we can have a weak faith, even though that we think that our faith is strong. Peter, this man loved the Lord, and this man had a very strong faith in God, but yet at the same time, this man allowed his faith to deteriorate. He allowed his faith in God to step aside for the things that he feared in regard to his own personal life. As we think in regard to those who have a commitment to God, many demonstrate their love for God on a continual basis. You see their love for God, you see their faith in God, because they are always here in attendance. And in that, Sister Sheila Butt posted something this morning on Facebook and said, you know, a faithful Christian is not only one who is in the services on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. It is who they are in their everyday walk of life. Attendance is very important. It is imperative for us to understand how significant it is that we are here, but also our faithfulness and our love to God is defined because of the fact that we are involved in the Lord's work. God blesses us with talents, and He wants us to invest those talents. And faithful Christians certainly understand the importance of being involved in the work, but in like figure, they're constantly studying God's Word because they realize that they've not yet arrived. They've not yet attained, as the Apostle Paul himself understood. And we, as faithful, mature Christians, we devote our lives to consider our life as well as to involve ourselves in the work. But yet at the same time, there are others who are guilty of following from afar. In this, good people, the Scripture identifies concerning these people is that they are weak in the faith. They are lukewarm Christians. They are not 100% sold on God. How can you tell that? Because they're not as involved as they ought to be, as God calls them to be. They're not as faithful in their attendance as what they should be, as what God commands us to be. When it comes to a study of God's Word, you look to these individuals who have been Christians for 20, 30, 40, even 50 years, and they struggle with being able to answer the simplest of biblical questions. Biblical context. To be able to explain those things. These individuals the Scripture identifies as those who follow the Lord at afar. They are lukewarm. They have more of a involvement and love for the things that the world has to offer. They are half-hearted, I believe, would be a way in which we would consider these souls. And these souls, as the Scripture reveals unto us, are more susceptible to sin. Why? Why would we say that they're more apt to sin, to fall away from God? Good people, because they become a product of their environment. If they associate themselves with evil, evil company corrupts good morals, and it's only going to be a matter of time, more times than not, until that evil influence pulls them away. And the Scripture very clearly reveals unto us in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27 that we are not to give place unto the devil. Why? Because whenever we give an inch unto the devil, he's not satisfied with an inch. He wants 2 inches to a foot. He wants to draw us completely away from our God. And God looks to those individuals who fall short of pleasing Him, who no longer are counted as faithful. And God wants so much for these individuals who are counted as erring members to come home. Our God pleads for these people to come home. How does He do that? Good people, He does that with sermons such as this. He does that through announcements wherein that we have people who are missing and that we need to contact them and to let them know that we love them. He does that through faithful members who will send cards and who will say, listen, we love you and we miss you. Our God reaches out and He pleads. But also in regard to our God and the way in which He works to bring these people back, He's very patient, isn't He? Why is He patient? The Scripture tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, He says the Lord does not count slackness as some do, but He said He is long-suffering, patient with us, not willing that any would perish, but that all would come unto repentance. When Christians come home, erring Christians come back unto a faithful relationship with God, how does God feel? Good people, our God is so pleased. Our God is rejoicing. In fact, the context of Scripture in the book of Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32, you have the prodigal son who journeyed away from God. He went out and he lived in the way that the world lived, and he spent his entire inheritance. And this young Jewish boy found himself amongst the swine, feeding the swine. What an embarrassment that was. And then the Scripture tells us that he came to himself. He came to a fork in the road, if you would, wherein that he could remain where he was and die. Or he could swallow his pride and return home. And we're so grateful that that young man chose the path home. He went home, and the Scripture tells us that the Father saw him from afar. What does that say about the Father? I take it that the Father had been looking for him time and time again. Every single day, waiting, longing, pleading, praying, hoping that his son would come home. And whenever he saw him, what did he do? He didn't stand there and wait for him. He ran and embraced him and rejoiced evermore. And our God works the same way whenever His children return home. And those who are considered children of God, those who are saints, Christians, we must give our lives over to God. Mature Christians appreciate the love that God bestows upon us. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And as we look in regard to the gift of God, good people, it's not a free gift. It cost our Father His Son, and it cost the Son His life. And as Christians, mature children of God, we know that. And we appreciate that sacrifice so much. And based out of that, and our love for God, we dedicate ourselves to God in the same way in which Paul did, where Paul says that it's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. How do we do that? Good people, in John chapter 3 and verse 30, we read, He must increase and I must decrease. We need to give our lives over in such a way to where we step back from self and we allow God to take control of our life. The only way in which we can do that is if we follow very closely to His Son. Tonight, if you're here and you've been following from a distance, understand the seriousness and the danger that is associated with following our Lord from afar. Because if you have not, it's not too far down the road until you will indeed pull away from God. Guard against that. Understand how important your relationship is with God. And if you are following at a distance, we want to encourage you to come and to renew your commitment to God tonight.